This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality approved a permit for Nestle to increase pumping out water from 250 gallons a minute to 400 gallons a minute at a facility in Osceola County. That approval came after overwhelming disapproval from citizens. The DEQ says it must follow the law when making permit decisions, which kind of seems to me to put the whole idea of taking public comment in the category of why bother. Let's turn to our regular Friday commentators about that. Vicki Barnett is a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Ken Sikkema is a senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and the former Republican majority leader in the state Senate. He joins us by Skype. Vicki, the DEQ says it will monitor the increased water withdrawal to make sure there are no problems. But other than that, its hands are tied. What do you think of that approval?
Well, I don't necessarily think its hands are totally tied. Their own Department of DEQ in Michigan estimates that this area will lose 1% of its surface water every year for the next 20 years. I don't think their hands are tied. That's clearly a detrimental policy. There were over 88,000 responses to this request that were filed with the Department of DEQ. 99% of them were don't do it, and only 75 in real numbers were okay, go ahead. So if the laws are tying the hands of the DEQ, then it's time for the state of Michigan to change its laws and recognize that our water is a public resource and a treasure and needs to be protected.
Well, we'll talk about that more in a little bit. Ken, I wanted to get your reaction to that. And just by the way, if it can only follow the laws as it's written, what's the point of seeking comment from the public?
Well, I think what the citizens of Michigan should expect from state government is that our resources are going to be protected. In this case, our water resources, and permit decisions, whether it's on water or anything else, need to be based on the law, in this case, hydrology and science, and primarily protecting the resource. So frankly, I agree with the DEQ that you can't make these decisions based on public opinion. I think it's important to get public opinion to know where the public's at. But permit decisions, I think everybody in the state, including those who seek permits, have to have the assurance that these decisions are going to be based on law, science, and I think protecting the resource. And that's where the legislature comes in. They need to insist that the laws are protective.
You know, I've been seeing social media just blow up over this. Something I've seen a couple of times now is the idea of charging more for water withdrawal. And then do what Alaska does with oil revenue, use it to supplement the state budget and write checks to its citizens every year. Now, water is not oil. In fact, Nestle is making a lot more money on it than oil companies make on their extraction. So here's our math. I want to show you this. At 99 cents per 16-ounce bottle of water, a barrel's worth of Nestle water is $332, while a barrel of crude is going for less than $70 right now. Now, you might say that's not fair because you're comparing a finished product with an unrefined barrel of oil. Okay, fine. Gasoline is about $2.78 a gallon right now. Bottled water at 99 cents a 16-ounce bottle, that's nearly $8 a gallon. Vicki, is water a public commodity in which the state and public should get more compensation?
Absolutely. And I think that's where we are not thinking future-minded. In 1976, Alaska amended its constitution recognizing that there was going to be drilling of its natural resources and started charging extraction fees and other taxes of the oil and gas companies that were coming to drill on their lands. And that money went into a trust fund called the Alaska Permanent Fund. So if you're talking about the fund where it pays its citizens and funds its budget, that's where it comes from. But there's also an awful lot of money left in there permanently to provide resources for future generations of Alaskans. In Michigan, and indeed in most of the country, we haven't recognized that clean, fresh drinking water is a very, very rare resource, and that we have to start protecting that resource and charging companies that want to use it extraction fees, finishing fees and production fees, much like Texas charges its gas and oil producers. So there needs to be changes in Michigan's law, and I think Candace Miller, the Water Resources Commissioner, the Drain Commissioner of Macomb County, has alluded to that because she's very opposed to this action, and she has threatened a ballot proposal if necessary in order to go ahead and protect our resources and get the money necessary. Her more concern, and mine too, is what's going to happen to the town of Everett when they lose all of their water. As I said, losing 1% a year is a tremendous amount of water.
Ken, the point keeps getting made that Nestle and some of the other water bottling companies often own these water wells. That ignores the fact that groundwater doesn't really recognize your property boundaries. So if the level goes down, it goes down for everyone tapping that source. How should legislators view that use?
Well, I'm going to go back to your question about whether we ought to be taxing water withdrawal, because comparing oil extraction to water withdrawal is a lot like comparing apples and oranges, in my opinion. The political conundrum here is that bottled water withdrawals in Michigan are an infinitesimal amount of the water withdrawals that are going on in the state, whether it's by industry or agriculture or municipal governments. And the political conundrum for the legislature is that what water use withdrawal do you tax and what do you not tax? And legally, they're probably not going to be able to get away with just trying to tax bottled water withdrawals. And that's why we don't have a tax on withdrawals right now. It's that problem that there are lots of withdrawals going on, many of them far greater than what's going on with bottled water withdrawals. And if you're going to tax that one, you're going to have to tax these other ones. And you're going to tax agriculture. You're going to tax drinking water supplies from municipal government. And I think that's the real political conundrum here.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the farmers, because the Farm Bureau wants more extraction in larger amounts made easier for farmers to use for irrigation. That would also benefit the other users, such as water bottling companies. What kind of effect do you think this decision will have on that legislation?
I'm going to talk about what Ken just said for a second, and that is the water that's being extracted by Nestle's does not stay in the Great Lakes watershed. And that's one of the key differences here. And it also bypasses municipal water authorities. So they're building their own tap-in production. And I think at that point that is the end product. The end product is what they're extracting. And I think you can make a case to tax the end product, which is the bottled water, either with a bottling fee or some other way, which gets it around the agricultural uses and the energy uses. To have a per bottle bottling fee seems to make sense to me. So I think we can find a way to delineate who we're going to tax and who we're not going to tax.
But to Ken's point, they're not the biggest users of water. In fact, irrigation is the biggest user of water in Michigan, so
the irrigation water stays in the watershed.
It evaporates.
The political conundrum is not solved here by saying, well, the water that Nestle is withdrawing doesn't stay in the Great Lakes watershed. The fact of the matter is, a lot of the water withdrawals that occur in Michigan don't stay in the Great Lakes watershed. Let me give you a real life example. Michigan has a lot of potato farmers, a lot of them north of Grand Rapids, some in northern Michigan. A lot of these potato operations are corporate farms that are internationally owned. They irrigate, use Michigan water, they irrigate the potatoes. The potatoes soak up the water. That's why you irrigate. The potatoes go to an out-of-state potato processor who makes French fries, selling to McDonald's. McDonald's then sells them to their restaurants. So somebody in New York City or California or Oregon is eating French fries that were produced in part by Michigan water withdrawals. That water doesn't stay in the Great Lakes watershed. So the political problem is just not solved by saying, well, let's just tax someone who takes water and sends it out of Michigan. A lot of the water goes out of Michigan.
You could say the same for Michigan beer or the water that goes into car radiators or anything else you want to mention.
There's a big difference between oil extraction and the water withdrawals. Oil and gas are non-renewable resources. Once you take it out, it's gone. Taking water out is replenished. Now, you have to be careful. I admit you've got to make sure you're protecting the aquifer. But that's why the Natural Resources Fund was set up, because of that non-renewable aspect of oil and gas. So we take the royalties of oil and gas and we buy another non-renewable resource, land, with oil and gas taken from public lands. That's why the Natural Resource Trust Fund is so popular.
But we have to be careful when we define water as a renewable resource, because it doesn't renew equally across the globe. Look at Cape Town. Look at L.A. that is running out of water. Look at Phoenix and other areas of Arizona where the water is not being replenished equally. And by the DEQ's own standards, the water in Everett will not be replenished through their simulations, their own simulations, equally. They're going to lose about 1% of their surface water per year for the next 20 years. That's 20%. So even if there is replenishment, it's not going to be enough. And so we have to start looking at water differently than we look at it now as a renewable resource, because clean, fresh water is a precious commodity, and we have to start protecting it better than we do now.
Vicki Barnett is a former Democratic legislator. Ken Sikkema is a former Republican legislator. Guys, I'm really disappointed we couldn't solve this problem right here today.
Let's talk about school funding, too. How about that one?
Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.